It's 1 o'clock. When you hear Iron Man, you hear Ozzy, it means it's time for us to talk, get a little smarter with our friend, Mr. Neil Greenberg. What up, Greenberg? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing super. How are you?
Fantabulous.
We're good, bud. We're good. I want to talk all things football with you. I see you're fighting with everybody on Twitter.
Why are you fighting people, man? Stop fighting, man.
I did want to start, though. I want to let you sound off on Jerry Jones. I know, I don't know, you care about journalism and the media.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of comical when owners or anybody in a real position of power starts yelling at the media, like, get off my lawn type stuff. It seems a little weird. Jerry Jones lashed out at the host of a Dallas radio show the other day, even threatened to have them replaced. Look, you go on the show, your team is not doing well, they're coming off a pretty bad loss. Like, if you can't handle the questions that are going to come as a result of that, then either you shouldn't be in the business or you shouldn't be on that radio show. Like, at some point, you have to have some self-awareness of how to control yourself. And, you know, again, like Dan Steinberg, my former editor, instituted the No Grudge Wednesday because I could not, like, police myself. So I needed some guidelines to work under. And I accept those. Like, I accept those parameters. And I think if you're an owner of sport or something like that, you know, you gotta understand that that comes with the job.
No Grudge Wednesday also happened to be when you do your weekly hit with us and start ticking hornet's nests, dude.
But see, what deals me with that, though, Neil, everyone expect even the owners expect the players to deal with everything and handle it. Why the hell can't they follow their own rules?
Right, well, because a lot of them are self-entitled, self-centered people. I mean, they're used to, especially when you start to get into the upper echelons of success and wealth, they just don't think the rules of decorum apply to them. Like, they literally believe, a lot of them believe, that they are able to live outside the lines of normal society. And we see, you know, examples of that all the time. But I look at it a lot like baseball. Like, if you don't want to see the bat flip, don't give up the home run. Like, if you don't want to be asked the tough questions after a tough loss, don't do any media. Like, that just seems like a simple solution to me. So, bad look for Dallas. You know, it's just one of many things that have gone wrong this season, and you know, it's part of why I was tweeting earlier, like you alluded to, that I think, you know, Washington should go all in on this season, because I do think that the NFC East in particular and the NFC at large is ripe for the taking.
All right, so if you follow Greenberg on Twitter, he's a fun follow, dude. There's a lot of information floating around. I wrote a story this morning, and I'm guessing Greenberg actually read it. I don't know. I can't confirm that, but I basically wrote a story, Brian, where I just laid out the facts surrounding the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. That it's coming. Washington has some assets. There's some positions they could use. But it's far from a certainty to assume they will make a trade. I am reading now from Neil Greenberg, at N. Greenberg. I've been thinking about this and believe Washington should go all in this season. An above-average quarterback on a rookie deal is a cheat code, and they should maximize this window. The division is vulnerable, and the NFC is wide open. Mortgage the future. Banners fly forever. All right, Greenberg, explain yourself.
Well, this season is going a lot better than I would say almost anybody expected. They're 4-2. They're coming off a narrow defeat to Baltimore, who many consider to be a Super Bowl contender. They're in first place of the NFC East. We just talked about Dallas is not having their best of seasons. The New York Giants aren't threatening anyone. Philadelphia has issues of their own. So I do think the division itself is available without much tinkering. We've seen the defense play pretty poorly for Washington. The offense is playing really well. Division, I think, is at least a goal that's a realistic goal. But then you start looking at the NFC, you know, the NFC North, I know they're putting up a lot of points, but Chicago hasn't beaten anybody. Green Bay, you know, is not going to be that great, I don't think. Minnesota and Detroit are good, but they're going to play each other, and there'll be some other intravision games, and we'll see. NFC South, not concerned about any of those teams. NFC West, not concerned about Seattle or San Francisco or Arizona. So if I'm Washington, if I'm looking at this NFC landscape, I'm saying to myself, you know what? Why not do it? Like, why not use all these assets that you have, switch gears, and make a run for a deep playoff push this year when you have money to spend next year, you have assets that you can trade this year, and you can get a lot of building blocks to really maximize this window this year, next year, and the year after. And that's my pitch.
That kind of sounds like what Dan Snyder did all the time. I thought he was doing.
Is it, though? I mean, they didn't really have this much success or this much optimism going forward. I'm not saying that you got to win free agency. I'm saying that there are smart people in the room that appear to have the accelerated the schedule back to relevancy. And
I mean, I think the quarterback being
not scary.
The quarterback being as good as he is kind of did that for him a bit, but now you just lost two people on your defensive line, and you don't know how many more injuries may be coming after this. I think you stay the course, and if you have more success than you expected, you have it. But just to all of a sudden switch gears at this point, I think that's the way that we've seen people do it too many times, and that rarely ever works in the long haul.
What if you're switching gears, though, because of injuries? Like, we think it's reasonable for Detroit to try to find a new pass rusher, right?
But Detroit is already a team that's established. Detroit was in an NFC Championship game last year. This team wasn't. So my thing is, just to switch gears because you think don't work in the long run. And this group has come in and say they want to build something for the long haul. I don't think it works that way if you try to just all of a sudden switch gear and just go after everything out there.
But the long haul is going to be very difficult once Jaden Daniels starts to make real money. Like, you look at the Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, most, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes, account for about 12 to 13% of the cap. Quarterbacks being paid now in excess of 20% of the cap. So I firmly believe if Jaden's the guy, and he's looked like the guy, that now's the time to use your money, salary cap dollars, on other positions to make things happen. And that includes draft assets for a trade. Because, I mean, the way I'm looking at it is, if you're good, you're not expecting to pick high in the first and second rounds anymore. And those draft picks can be turned into other assets that help you win now. I certainly understand what you're saying regarding injuries, et cetera.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, though, based on how realistic is the window, and typically it's on entry-level contracts for quarterbacks.
Can I counter that,
it just makes
though,
a lot of sense
Greenberg?
To me.
And I'm asking you a question here because I think the problem isn't competing with elite quarterbacks that get paid, right? Because the Chiefs, the Bills, they're certainly able to do it. I mean, Green Bay stayed very relevant with Aaron Rodgers making a ton of money. Like, maybe they weren't piling up Super Bowls, but they're
even Detroit is playing now. That guy got some money.
I think the problem is when non-top-tier quarterbacks, like, there are probably 3-4 guys, Lamar, Mahomes, Allen, right? I think those three are probably separate from everybody else, but we could have that debate. But let's say there's a top five at the position that are going to make that absurd amount of money, and you still compete because they're that good at the position. I think the problem is when the 6th through the 12th quarterback,
like Daniel Jones,
they also make an absurd amount
worse.
Of money,
yeah, he's worse.
And then that is what screws up your cap. Can you allow for that distinction?
Well, sometimes it's not who's available, it's when they're available.
Right.
And we're only
going to
see quarterbacks get paid more and more. No matter how we feel about it, the quarterback's always going to suck up a large portion of the money, generally speaking.
Yeah.
Again, this is more of Washington playing well, the division a little bit underwhelming, and the NFC as a whole a little bit underwhelming. I'm not saying that they can beat Kansas City head-to-head. I'm not saying that they can immediately become a Super Bowl contender overnight. But I do think that looking at where we are right now and how well they're playing, especially on offense, and looking at what Super Bowl teams have done in the past in terms of efficient offenses, et cetera, I firmly believe that this is the time to make a serious move, and the window started, like, today. I firmly believe that. You know, I'm
what
also a dude on
do?
The phone in a radio show calling in, and I get that too, and there's a lot of nuances to that, to go in that route. But I just look at where we are right now in terms of the NFL, and I think that Washington, if they wanted to, could become a serious contender making some moves.
What would you want them to do? Well, you give me a
you
position,
gotta,
you give
gotta
me a player.
You've got to improve the defense. Like, that's the whole thing, right? If you can get the defense better, secondary, linebacker, however you know you think you need to go about it, I really do think that that makes an instant difference. And I'm not necessarily sure the people that they need would be expensive in terms of assets, right? Because they're not going after a star wide receiver. They're not going after a star, you know, a franchise quarterback. I think that they just need to get some good football players on defense, elevate that squad a little bit, play a little bit better, right? Get some guys in there that could do a little more things. And then I firmly believe that they're going to be squarely in the hunt for a deep playoff run.
What kind of money would that cost if you go and get – and I'm looking at – if I'm going to go get somebody, I'm going to get somebody that's going to make some difference, like a Ward,
sure,
somebody on a defensive back or a pass rusher. That takes up a lot of money right there.
It does. And again, the salary cap is a very, you know, intricate construction, and there are a lot of different ways to navigate that. I'm sure I don't know anywhere close to the ways to do that. I'm just looking at it from the outside and thinking, you know what? They have the cap dollars. They have the draft assets that they can make. They can make some moves. You know, again, I'm not talking about a Snyder-esque free agency,
yeah,
you know, landslide of cash where we
there's
hear
a difference.
Bring
I know what you're saying.
I'm saying, like, there's smart people in the room that I think can find some strategic players that can make an impact, whether that's with draft picks or picking up contracts, et cetera. I think now's the time because they're 4-2, quarterback's playing well, offense playing really well. You know, you did the hard part, in my opinion. It looks like you did the hard part in finding the guy to be your quarterback. And that really is a significant piece of the puzzle. I just think that a team should maximize every minute that they have that and start building for a playoff contention run sooner rather than later.
It's funny, I've said this a few times. You know who they could really use is if they still had Kendall Fuller, a smart veteran corner. You know, he's making money, but it's nothing outlandish. And I understand why he wanted to go to Miami, why he walked. Clearly the Miami situation was changed a lot with Tua's injury. Our friend Neil Greenberg on the line, stats geek, not nerd, for the Washington Post. All right, I know you do your own power rankings. You do your own, what do you call it, point spreads, all of it. We went through this a little earlier. We use NFL.com every week, right? They have the Skins at number 8, one spot ahead of Tampa, one spot behind Green Bay. Where do you have Washington now, sitting at 4-2? What do you think?
I have them as an average team at 18th. That's where I have
Washington?
Them. Yes, Washington Commanders, an average team, meaning they're no better or worse than an average team, at 18th. And a lot of it has to do with the defense and perhaps even some regression on the offensive side. Also, you know, who they play, et cetera, who those opponents play, et cetera. It's a lot lower, and I will say I haven't fully phased out the preseason expectations yet. So that's something that's certainly weighing it down a little bit. But like I'm looking at some of the other like some of the other power rankings, they have like Washington about a point and a half better than an average team, which probably puts them like around 13th. So I think, you know, just outside the top 10 or at the top of the middle part of the NFL, you know, landscape is probably a very fair assessment of them right now.
That seems low, dude. And
it did before.
Well, hold on, though. Doesn't it seem slightly contradictory, though, that you're saying go
and
all
again,
in at the trade deadline and then have them 18th?
I don't.
And we love you. I'm asking for love.
Like, I don't know. No one knows what the future holds, and I'm just looking at who they played, and then how much they beat them, et cetera. You know, again, look, this is an art and a science, right? Like, there's a lot of noise in these type of power rankings, and I've said this before. Like, no one really knows how good Washington would be because there's a lot of moving parts. So, you know, I absolutely understand that's a very valid point. Again, there's art and science. So the science of it says they're probably an average team. The art of it says that their offense is hyper-efficient. And when you look at Super Bowl contenders, the teams that have actually appeared in the Super Bowl, they're usually among the top five in offense, like efficiency metrics, with like an average defense. And I think that Washington could be there. So, you know, again, I'm kind of have my foot in both buckets here. But, yeah, I get that. I get that loud and clear. But I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong.
I don't know that they're eighth. I don't know that they're top 10, but I think they're closer to top 10 than 20. But, dude, you know the great part about NFL is we have, I don't know, three more months of it, and it all gets decided on the field. So, Neil, we always love having you on. Thank you, dude.
All right, I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great week.
All right.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg, from the Washington Post. He wants them to go all in on the trades, but also has them 18th in the NFL. I could see if you have real concerns about this defense.
Sound like Jerry should have been telling Neil what he told Sean. Whatever you smoking on over there.
specific to the defense, right now they are 22nd in the league. I mean, there's some consistency to these numbers, B. 22nd in points allowed, 22nd in yards allowed, 23rd in first downs allowed. They're 19th in passing yards, 22nd in rushing yards. It's consistently about the bottom third of the league.
Mm-hmm. And the league is catering to what? Your offense. And your offense is where? In the top five of the league.
Yeah.
That normally washes it into a much better situation than if your defense was dominating and your offense sucked.
Sure. I think as long as they can keep the run game going and win the time of possession and stuff, it keeps that defense off the field. I think that helps a lot. Got to get – B-Rob should be back this week, which is a huge step for the offense, a huge step for you. If you're looking to buy or sell a car, go check out our friends at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. I've bought four or five cars from them. B-Mitch has bought 100. They got seven locations all over Northern Virginia, from Alexandria to Chantilly. And the real differences are the people. You can buy a car anywhere. You can buy a car on the damn internet. But you can't text the internet, yo, I'm hearing this weird noise in my front right brake. Do I need to bring it in? Or, hey, man, I saw that you guys have a car on your lot. How much can I drive it off for, and what are the financing options? That's the kind of service, personal service, you get at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. That's why I go there. That's why Brian goes there. And that's not even to mention the Orsman Lifetime Edge.
Well, I love that Lifetime Edge because when you go there, you go to a lot of places, they want to charge you for a little bit over everything. But with Orsman Lifetime Edge, they give you up to $1,500 in extras, including a complimentary car wash with every scheduled maintenance and loaner cars with every major maintenance. You know, some companies actually charge you for loaner cars. Now, Orsman doesn't. And they have the lifetime engine guarantee. And there's more good news. If you have a car to sell, take it to Orsman. They'll give you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value, regardless of its make, model, or year. It's simple at Orsman. They like to keep their customers happy. And take it from JP and I, two extremely satisfied Orsman customers, and let's ride together.
To be fair, that's majority every college campus across the United States.
That one's facts, Jeff. That line tracks.
the judge said, Greenberg just said it's snowing and it's 85 degrees.
Listen, I think 18 is too low. I think you and I both guessed like around 11 or 12, didn't we?
What?
When we were doing our guesses before we had seen the power ranks.
I said 9 to 12.
You said 9 to 12. I think I said 10 to 13.
Yeah, and so then Jeff said 8.
Jeff was right.
Because he saw the thing.
And this year's, yeah, he definitely.
No, I did not.
This year's so obviously not last year, but there was a time, and it was earlier in the season when you know a lot less, but there was a time last year when they were 2-0, and Greenberg had him like 27th in his power rankings, and people were flipping out at him. He was proving right.
I had him kind of low then, too.
Okay.
So, but the whole thing of it, listen, man, if you're going to say go all in, they cannot be ranked 18th. I don't care what the rankings are. If you say go all in, you must think that the team is extremely good, and that means they're in the top half of the league. That's when you go all in. If you're 18th and you won 4 games, you're not ready to go all in at that point.
Yeah.
I disagree with that point that he said.
I tend to agree there. But let's talk about like kind of what could impact it, right? I think this weekend, I don't believe this is a trap game. I think they had maybe a trap game when they went to Arizona. It was a short week. They had just won on Monday Night Football. Jaden Daniels played, honestly, arguably the best game an NFL quarterback's played this year. That, to me, set up for a trap game.
What's the definition of a trap game? This is my definition. When you're already a damn good team and you have to play two extremely good teams that are normally a rival and something else, and you got an average team in between those, that's a trap game. When you're a team ascending and you have not established yourself yet, kind of hard as hell for you to have a trap game. That's just the way I feel. So I think the game in Arizona could have been a game where, you know, you play so well on that Monday night. You're traveling, you're going to be staying somewhere else, that you just get a little bit out of sorts. They're not trap game.
Okay.
And even this game here, they played against Baltimore. They got the Bears afterwards.
Bears game all of a sudden is kind of a big deal.
But it's a big deal for TV because TV is trying to get the most money possible. It's no bigger for the players than it was before. The fact that they moved it to a 4 o'clock game, 1 o'clock, it means absolutely nothing to most players. The reason that we are all so excited and talking about this team is number 5, okay? And that dude right there doesn't give a damn if it's at 1 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning or 9 o'clock at night. He's going to be the same guy. And I think that right there makes a world of difference. We, as fans and media, have to stop thinking that players think like we do. Because they don't.
I turn to Jeff Walker. Jeff, you worried about a trap game. You heard DQ got asked about any given Sunday. He's like, yeah, we don't look at any of that. We just focus on the opponent. Where are you at, Jeffrey?
I feel the same way. Look, even though, you know, we had early success, I still think every game to us is a trap game. We're not supposed to be here. Like, we wasn't expecting to be here. We wasn't expecting 4-2. But as DQ go, we just got to worry about the week. We're not worried about if it's a trap game. Just worried about us playing the best so we can win. But to me, nah. Every game is just a game that we got to win, and we should do our best to win.
I just think that human beings have a pessimistic mindset. We all want our teams to get good. And then when they get good, we always find a reason why they could lose. You know what I mean? So, listen, they're playing against – Carolina. They probably should beat Carolina. But they don't have Bryce Young quarterback anymore. There's a guy named Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle. I mean, he's called Red Rifle.
He's a pro.
He's been around a long time. If you make mistakes with him and you're not in position, he can probably pick your ass apart. Especially with a defense that don't get a lot of pressure and the coverage that's not very tight. So just start no trap game. Because if I'm offense, I'm like, we got to score. You don't know. 23 might not be enough.
Totally. If you look at the Panthers since they benched since the Panthers benched Bryce Young and went to Andy Dalton, they've looked like a really different team. Is not to say they're good. I mean, you are what your record is. They're 1-5. But since they benched Young, I mean, in the first game Dalton was back against the Raiders, they put up 36-1. Against the Bengals, they put up 24 and gave Cincy a heck of a run. The Bears game was bad. They turned it over a bunch, and the Bears defense is pretty good. Last week against the Falcons, a suddenly kind of hot Falcons team. Granted, they ended up losing 38-20, but I kind of think that's the game Washington needs to have. They've been able to run the ball pretty damn well. Chuba Hubbard's been really good for them. Washington is reeling now on the defensive line. They weren't able to get stops last week. I'm messing around with the Rooster about if Derrick Henry had if Washington had a decent game plan against Derrick Henry. I do think one of the results of Derrick Henry's ability was that Zay Flowers was running pretty damn wide open and Mark Andrews was pretty damn open in the end zone, et cetera. But they also gave up 125 and 2 touchdowns on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever Lamar had on top of it. This rush defense, defensively they got holes. And Carolina is not the 2000 Rams. This is not the greatest show on turf. But they now have a professional-level quarterback. I do like Canales. I liked him a lot as the OC in Tampa last year. And they've got a good back. So you can't look past it. Landfill, is this a trap game?
I hope not. But I am a little bit concerned that Andy Dalton is the type of guy, like we mentioned earlier in the show, that he can go out there and throw for 3 touchdowns, 300 yards, and then, you know, the next week just have a kind of disaster class, 4 interceptions type game. So I'm a little worried that Dalton could go off on the secondary here.
I think that is reasonable concern. Mm-hmm. Dalton, it's crazy we're talking about Andy Dalton in the year of 2024. Andy Dalton's 37 years old and 1-3 as a starter, but in the games he has started, he's completing 66% of his passes, 7 touchdowns against 4 picks. Like, there are 2 baseball games, maybe just 1. I believe the Mets are on tonight. Baseball is heating up. It's getting pretty good. Yeah, the Mets, they're back in New York. Who do you think wins that series, B? Dodgers-Mets?
Dodgers.
You think?
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, there is something kind of fun about this Mets team, but I can't root for the Mets. Then tomorrow night,
we'll see Ohtani in a big thing.
Yeah, I mean, does the NLCS not count? You want to see him in the series?
I'm gonna see him like in the series to see if he gonna try to bet on that and then say it was his guy.
That's what I want. Dude, so I'm curious about this. They flexed the Commanders game to 4:30, Week 8 against the Bears.
You upset, aren't you?
No, I love that.
I thought you liked the games always finished at a certain time.
No, I love 4:30 games. I think that's perfect. I also think it's cool that Jaden versus Caleb gets the national audience. I mean, that's as much as people get hype about primetime games, that 4:30 viewership is massive.
Oh, yeah.
And they get Romo and Nance again. I think it'd be quite interesting, you know, how many more of these do you think Washington's getting flexed into?
Well, if they're home games, I'm good with it. If they're road games, they got a problem with it.
Why? Because you got to arrange your travel.
You got to get home later.
If they get flexed on the road, unless it's Philly or New York, odds are it changed. Like, even the Tampa game, we couldn't get out of Tampa that night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a great point. It screws everything up. Well, Philly's already a Thursday night, so they're not gonna make it later.
I'm with that.
I can't imagine there's a real.
We're gonna do the show from Philly that Friday.
I'll probably get on the road Friday morning and just shoot back. I don't know. We can figure it out. We got a couple weeks.
That's a lot of rushing, bro. We can just go to a studio. Hang out with me. I know you're gonna be scared to go out there by yourself because you talk a lot of trash about Philly.
No, dude, I got this Italian. I might put them on you. I got this real quiet mom and pop Italian spot. I just chill out.
I will not be going to Maggiano's.
Let's make some bets. Jeffrey.
Okay, so JP, you owe me money from using my term earlier. But
when did I use that?
You said it earlier, bro. Me, I even said it as soon as you did it. I said JP owes me money.
So but anytime anybody on the planet says okay, so they owe you money
on this program.
You trademark that.
On
he
this program,
you gotta have that. You gotta have like trademarks and stuff like that.
Hey, how you gonna tell me what I don't know? It is trademarked because I said so.
It's not trademark, Bama.
But yeah,
it's
let's
definitely.
To the results of this week, I'm still on my cold streak. I'm sitting at 0-2. I don't think I hit a bet in like 8 days. JP sitting at 1-1. Landini is sitting at 2-0. And B Mitch is sitting at 3-0. And tonight, I'm taking the Mets. Let's cool them off.
You root against the Mets, Jeff, because of your intense Yankee fandom?
If he picks them, yeah.
Yes, and
whatever you pick loses.
I'm picking them to lose.
Don't you think the Yanks would rather face the Mets than the Dodgers?
Yeah, but you got to also understand, you know, me going for like me rooting for the Mets or the Red Sox is like me rooting for the Cowboys or the Eagles. I'm not going to do that.
Okay. Because you're intense Yankee fandom.
Look, stop trying to play my Yankee fandom. I told you this already, bruh. I've been a Yankees fan for a minute.
I'm playing it.
You want to play fandom, JP?
Sure.
Nah, I ain't going to do that. Let's keep it going.
are you going to just say your Cowboys lie? I hate the freaking Cowboys.
Bro, I hate that you're trying to play my Yankee fandom, bro. Look,
just bandwagon fandom.
Bandwagon
fandom.
First
guy I met him, he told me he was a Yankee fan.
I was going to say,
I met Jeffy saying Yankee fan. I met Linnell. He wanted to eat a cicada.
Leville, what do you got?
I'm taking Sam Houston State.
I'm about to take them too.
Oh God,
I ain't gonna do it. Let me just do that to the Mets.
B, what do you got?
Oh man.
All right, I am taking UTEP +7 at home. The Miners are 0-6, but the FIU Panthers coming to town only 2-4. Actually, can I switch that to the under? I'm switching that to the under. I see it at 47.
Under 47 and a half.
Boom. FIU.
Give me the Utah Hockey Club.
Wow. I think that's a first. The first ever Utah Hockey Club bet on
B-Mitch. They're 3-0 right now.
Go Hockey Club. Seeing Utah Hockey Club kind of makes me miss Washington football team. Thank you to Mike Sando for joining the program. Thank you to Dan Wetzel for joining the program. Thank you to Neil Greenberg for joining the program and riling up the fans. Great job in the aquarium, Jeff and Landini. We're back live from Ashburn tomorrow. Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far.
And add the Dodgers on that.
Parlay. There it is.
Got you.
You made it this far. B owes you a parlay.